Well, good morning. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that your word is powerful. And Lord, it searches the deep things of the heart. Lord, it ministers to our spirit. And Lord, this morning we open up our spirit to receive your word today. Father, your word said, blessed are those who have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And so, Father, we say collectively, I have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And Father, I thank you for what you're going to do this morning. And Lord, we give you praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I get so excited when I get opportunity to bring forth the Word of God and just how God confirms His Word. And oftentimes, you know, you as a minister, you're wondering, well, am I actually hearing from God? But God confirms His Word to us ministers, those who minister the Word. He confirms it to us through prayer. You know, in pre-service prayer this morning, His Word was confirmed. In the songs that were sung, His Word is confirmed. You know, and just it just encourages me as someone who's going to bring forth the Word that maybe I do hear from God. Just like Freddie was sharing this morning, God spoke to me. You know, that is so good when we hear God speaking to us, isn't it? That we actually, God wants to communicate with us on a daily basis. But so often our lives get so busy that we don't hear God. We got so much going on, so much on our minds that we don't actually hear what God has got to say. Because our minds are so filled with other things. But you know, as we were praying, and another thing I'm excited about is when we pray for something that we expect it, and we believe that it's going to happen. Yeah. This morning in pre-service prayer, and I want to encourage you that haven't been a part of pre-service prayer to come out to it, because it is good. Yeah. You know, when I'm in pre-service prayer, my faith is built up. My ears are starting to get into tune with what God is about to say in the morning. You know, we need to become to church prepared to hear what God has to say. Not just showing up and say, okay. And then we leave, we say, well, God really didn't say anything. Well, we need to prepare our hearts. We need to prepare our spirit to have an ear to hear what the Lord wants to speak to us. And so this morning I was praying, and one of the things that I prayed was near the end, I said, Lord, I thank you for the prophetic word and the prophetic unction that's going to be released this morning. Praise God. You know that God released that this morning through Fallon? She was an obedient servant. That excites me, you know, because, you know, we're looking for signs and wonders. That's a sign and that's a wonder. You know what? It's a supernatural thing that God performed here this morning. And we serve a supernatural God, and so we should be expecting supernatural things. Amen? I'm expecting supernatural things. And this morning, what I want to talk to you about is waiting upon the Lord. And this passage of Scripture I'm going to read from is Isaiah chapter 40. But before I get into where it actually talks about waiting upon the Lord, Isaiah, God is admonishing the children of Israel through Isaiah. And beginning in verse 27, he says, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, as we were singing that song this morning, rise up, people of God. It just jumped out at me. Rise up, people of God. You know, he wants us to rise up on wings as eagles. Rise up, people of God. You know, I got really excited about that this morning as we were worshiping the Lord, and I began to shout. I don't know if some of you probably heard me, you're probably telling them, you know, you need to quiet down a little bit, but I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to quiet down. When God speaks to my heart, when I get excited and the Spirit of God is moving inside me, I need to shout hallelujah. Amen. We need to release what God has put inside of us. You just can't have an impartation, and not do anything with it. It needs to be released. You know, as we were singing, rise up, people of God. As we lift up God, Bible says that as we draw near to God, God will draw nigh unto us. And so as we're drawing near to God through our worship and our praise, God is drawing nigh unto us. And Fallon mentioned that this morning, that God comes down and he inhabits the praises of his people. His presence is manifest amongst us. That gets me excited. You know, when you're down and you're weary, and oftentimes we do get down and we do get weary, we get tired. We get tired of the daily battles that we face, the struggles that we have, difficult people in our lives. We need the presence of God to strengthen us. You know, one of the things I was praying this morning, Lord, in pre-service prayer, Lord, I need fresh anointing for today. I need it for today. Yesterday's anointing was good for yesterday, but it isn't carrying over in today. I need it, fresh anointing for today. You know, God gave the people in the desert fresh manna every day. They tried to gather it, but what happened to it? It rotted. You know, you can't gather an anointing. You need to get a new, fresh every day. Amen? You know, that same passage of Scripture that I read to you, I'm going to read to you in the Message Bible. And it's so powerful, it just really speaks to me. Why would you ever complain, O Jacob? Here's God saying, why are you complaining? You know, if you look at us as the people who are born in Canada, with everything that we have nothing to complain about. We truly have nothing to complain about. The Bible, not the Bible, there's a statistic that says that if you have $20 in your pocket, you're richer than 70% of the world's population. If you have $20 in your pocket. That's an amazing fact. Or why in Israel saying, God has lost track of me. He doesn't care what happens to me. Don't you know anything? Haven't you been listening? God doesn't come and go. God lasts. He's creator of all you can see or imagine. He doesn't get tired out. He doesn't pause to catch his breath. And he knows everything, inside and out. He energizes those who get tired, gives fresh strength to dropouts. For even young people tire and drop out. Young folk in their prime stumble and fall. But those who wait upon God get fresh strength. They spread their wings and soar like eagles. They run and they don't get tired. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? I just want to encourage you to go home and read that and just meditate on that. God doesn't get tired. God doesn't get weary. He lasts. He's there forever. He's not gonna abandon you. He's not gonna give up on you. You know what? Many of us have failed at some point in time in our lives. Or people have quit on us. Have you ever had anybody quit on you? You don't have to raise your hands, but I have. I've had people that have written me off. God never did. And God will not write you off. He sees you, he sees your struggles, he sees your tenacity, he sees the difficult things that you and I go through every day, and he says, that's my child. That's my warrior. He's rising up. She's rising up. They're going to do great things for me. Do you hear God speaking that to you this morning? He's saying that to you, each and every one of you here today. You're going to rise up. You're going to soar on wings and eagles. These things you're facing right now, they're nothing. The power of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. You're going to rise above every situation that you are facing right now. There's nothing too difficult for God. The impossible is possible with God. That's a prophetic word. That's a prophetic word, folks. Take it. That's a prophetic word for you today. You know, many of us have been in that stage where we found ourselves complaining, or perhaps even whining a bit. You know, I found myself in that stage, you know, just when we moved out here and just kind of wandering around aimlessly and finding, God, what am I doing here? I went for many walks just by myself and just talking to God, or maybe more or less complaining to God, or whining probably quite a bit. But, you know, God didn't rebuke me. He listened. And he allowed me to get out of my system when I needed to get out of my system. But you see, I was looking to my own understanding. I was looking to my, you know, okay, well, God, this is what I should be doing, and this is what I think I should be doing. And it's all about our own understanding, isn't it? Don't you ever found yourself in that place? Well, I think I know it. I think I know the plan, God. But God, you know, when we tell God our plans, you know what he does? He laughs. Truly he does, because his ways and his plans are far greater than ours. Amen? You know, the question looms in that passage of Scripture. Don't you know? Don't you know, O Israel? The question God is asking us, don't you know me? I have been with you through everything, and yet you still don't know me. You don't know my faithfulness. You don't know my character. You don't know my integrity. You don't know my power yet or my ability to do the impossible. You don't know how much I love you, that I want the best for you. That's the question that he's asking the Israelites right in that passage of Scripture. Don't you know? Don't you know the one that created all this stuff? The heavens and the earth? Don't you know that he loves you? That he cares about you? That he knows when a sparrow falls to the ground? Don't you know that he loves you far above those things? Don't you know that he knows what you need in your life? That nothing is hidden from him? That's the question that God is asking the people of the children of Israel. Come on, guys. Don't you know I've been with you all this time? I provided for you. I've looked after you. I've taken care of your enemies. Don't you know? How many of us have been born again for so long? We question and we doubt God's faithfulness. We doubt his integrity. Don't you know, folks? God is there. He's never going to abandon you. Isn't that powerful? Sometimes we need to remind ourselves of all the things that God has done. You know, there's a song we used to sing many years ago, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One. And we forget quickly, just like the Israelites forgot so easily when God led them out of Egypt. They weren't even 3 days and they're complaining and moaning. God, you brought us out in the desert to waste away or to have our enemies destroy us. We find ourselves in a little bit of difficulty and we start bemoaning our situation. Don't you know God gave you a promise that he's going to take you into a land that's filled with milk and honey? Excuse me. Don't you know? What he's really saying, you don't know me. Don't you know me? If we really knew God, if we really knew God, there's nothing you and I could not face or could not do. If we really knew him. God, that's the greatest thing as believers you and I can do is get to know God. It's not so much about getting to know the Bible. And the Bible is God, is his word. But it's getting to know God on a personal basis. Lord, I need to know you. It's spending time with him. It's like spending time with your best friend. I was so blessed when, I forget your daughter's name. Jasmine. She comes waltzing in here, right up to the front, where Kennedy is. And she's, and comes up and gives her a hug. You know, she is just Jasmine, just being herself with her best friend. They know each other. They can just be who they are with one another, and they're okay with that. God wants us to be like that. Just saunter into his presence. Hey, God, I'm here today. All my inabilities, all my quirks, all my, you know, stupid stuff that I do, he welcomes us into his throne room of grace. Because it's grace where we receive. Amen? Haven't you been listening? This is the second question being asked. Is our world so busy and fast-paced that we have no time to sit and listen to what God is speaking? And God is always speaking. He speaks to us through his word, the Bible. Hebrews 1:1, it says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. You know, in the Old Testament times, God only spoke through his prophets. But in the New Covenant, God speaks to us individually. And we can hear, each one of us can hear God by through the Holy Spirit. God speaks to us through his creation. He speaks to us through the unction of the Holy Spirit, that still small voice. Remember in 1 Kings 19, this is Elijah. Then he said, God said to Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind in an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a still small voice. But you know what it took? It took Elijah to listen. Oftentimes we come into our prayer room and we come and we lay everything down, all our prayers or supplications before God, but we don't take time just to actually listen to what God is speaking. And that's just as much a part of prayer as is praying. We need to hear what God is saying. The last time I spoke, I shared about, you know, praying for someone, an individual had a sore elbow. And everybody gathered around to pray for that person, you know, praying for healing for that person. But I stood back and I just waited upon God. I said, God, what are you saying? What's happening here? And God revealed to me that this individual had been wounded in her heart through another person. It had offense. You see, if we don't listen to God, we don't take the time to listen, to hear what God is actually saying, we can miss what God wants to do. So it's important that we not only pray, but it's also important that we take time to listen. Just be still. You know, what Pastor Ray and Leonard are doing is setting themselves apart just to hear from God. They're resting. They're waiting on the Lord. You know, and waiting, excuse me, is not passive. It's an active term. While they're waiting, they're seeking God. They're praying. They're reading books. They're spending time in God's creation. But they're still, you know, they're resting in God. You know, as I was having my own struggles about hearing from God, not so much hearing from God, just questioning about why I was where I was in doing what I was doing. You know, God just began to reveal to me that His plans and His purposes are far greater than I could ever ask or imagine. That, you know, oftentimes it's just waiting to hear from God. It's just being patient and silent, just resting in the knowledge that God has things worked out and that He's going to bring them to pass into purpose in His perfect time and His will. Amen? You know, working on things, God is always working on things. When we're praying, when we pray and we just don't seem to see an answer, it's not that God isn't working on things. He is. So we just need to be patient. You know, God is trustworthy. He's not here today and gone tomorrow. He knows exactly what you need and when you need it. You know, I've had a question in my heart. Do you think perhaps God may delay His answer to some of our prayers just to see if we're actually listening? You think maybe God might delay his answer to our prayer just to see if we are actually listening? Just to get our attention. Because sometimes our lives get so busy and we're so focused on other things that we've forgotten about God. I believe that delayed answered prayer will either cause us to further seek God or we will perhaps become the whiners that Isaiah is talking about here. Really believe that? I do. You know, when we don't see an answer to prayer, sometimes we can become discouraged and we begin to complain, begin to whine, as the Israelites were doing. But you know what? I really believe that they just needed to go back to God. They just needed to go back to God and be comforted in what that God knew what was going on. You know, in Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. You know, if you're like me, too often we lean to our own understanding, which is carnal in nature. We need to be seeking the Lord through and by the Spirit, praying in the Spirit and through the Spirit. Hebrews 11, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Did you get that? God rewards those who diligently seek him. I want to be rewarded. I just don't want to. You know, there's the promise of the tenfold, 30-fold, and 100-fold. I'm kind of a greedy guy that way. I would like the 100-fold. I don't know about you. In order for me to get the 100-fold, that's going to cause me to diligently seek the Lord, because he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Anybody else like that? I'm kind of greedy that way. I hope you guys are too. You know, in Philippians 4, 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know, the word supplication in Hebrew is the word tekna, and it means favor. Supplication for favor. So when we're praying, it says, but in everything by prayer and favor, do you know that we have favor with God through Christ Jesus our Lord? Hallelujah. We already have favor. So let your supplications be made with thanksgiving. Thank you, God, that I have favor. I have favor with this job that I'm applying for. I have favor in this vehicle that I'm going to buy. I have favor in my school. You know what? God says it, so let's claim it. Amen? You know, God doesn't want us to be anxious for anything. We are to trust in his provisions and in his timing. I want to tell you a little story. You know, many of you have heard about Kathy's horse and how she's believed for this horse, and she finally got her horse. Well, there was things that needed to get done around the ranch in order for all that to happen. There was pasture that needed to happen, and then we needed panels so that she could have a Rhinidin arena and a stock pen and so on and so forth. And I searched high and low throughout this valley looking for stock panels. Excuse me. And I found many stock panels, but people didn't want to sell them. I went to auctions, and they went far above what I thought they were worth. And we looked all over. We went across to our neighbor, across the road to our neighbor, and she had quite a few panels, and I offered to buy a bunch of them off of her, and she wouldn't sell them to me. So I was kind of at my wit's end. But the Bible says, those who wait upon the Lord. And so, I wasn't anxious. I knew that God had something. My wife is not quite as unanxious as me, to put it lightly. She wants stock panels. So again, I talked to the lady across the road about selling me half of what I'd asked for. And she came back and she said, no. She didn't want to sell them. So lo and behold, we were how did it happen? Oh, she said that she would lend us some stock panels. So last week, and we went over to her place to pick up these stock panels that she was going to lend us. She said she would lend us enough stock panels for a round pen and for the stock pen. And so we go over to her house, and she has a friend over there, and so we're talking, and she invites us in, and so we talked, and says, yeah, you guys can borrow them. And so we went outside, and we loaded these stock panels up on my truck, and we took them home, and we set them up. Later on, towards the evening, RCMP drives into our yard. And he's got the lady in his vehicle. And I didn't know what was going on. I thought maybe there had been an abuse situation or something, but he said, this individual needed to speak to Pastor Ray. And I said, well, he's not here, but his son is. And to make a long story short, he dropped her off. The individual that had been visiting her had died and had a heart attack. The person we had talked to 4 hours earlier. bang, just like that, gone. And so we were able to comfort her, and prayed with her. Anyway, next day she comes over to the house, and she's riding her quad. And she asks if I would go into the town of Kenville and pick her up a phone card, because her phone had died and she didn't have minutes to call her aunt. So I agreed to do that. So I went into town, I picked her up a phone card, and I brought it to her house. She was unable to program it into her phone, so I programmed it into her phone for her. And she asked me to sit down, and we talked, and she shared some of her life story with me, and I shared some of my life story with her just to, you know, build a relationship. She asked me some questions, and I provided some answers to her. And then she says, you know, Bill, she says, I've been thinking. I want to bless you and Kathy. She says, I want to give you guys those stock panels. God had an answer to our prayer. As we waited upon him, he provided. You know, we could have got anxious, could have ran into town and got into some debt and bought new stock panels, which I didn't want to do. But we waited upon the Lord, and God made provision for us. You know, I was at peace. Like, I was at peace knowing that God had something. But you know what? Like I was saying earlier, waiting upon God is not stationary. I did all that I needed to do. I went around. I sought out different places, hoping to buy some stock panels at a decent price. I went to auction sales. You know, we went in on the internet. Put on the classifieds in Swan Valley Biz and so on and so forth, but to no success. But all the while, God knew what we needed. And it was right across the road. And it was free. How much better can it get than that? Hallelujah. Amen. Pastor Ray has a similar story, and I just want to ask him to come up and just share his story.
That Linda and I have had for a number of years, a number of rental homes in Swan River. And about a month ago, as you also know, one of our homes burned. There's a fire, and so we lost a home. What that means is that our insurance company has a special deal. Like, we'll give you like a pittance, unless you rebuild. And so if you want the full value of your insurance policy, this is the whale of a deal that we have for you. You have to build a new house, and it has to be on the same property. And so the last thing in the world we want to do is to build a house, but we went through this once, and my wife still hasn't gotten over the joy of it. And so to do it again, she's just beside herself with ecstasy that we have to do this again. And so we did actually, Bill, what you did. That is, we've been forced to look around to see what to do. And we were actually offered a new home in Dauphin. We were offered a new home for $92,000, brand new home. If we would just pick it up and move it to our place here, and that seemed pretty good. But it wasn't quite right, and there are a few things that just weren't quite suiting us. Though it's a whale of a deal, smoke and hot deal. It's a bad phrase to use, I guess, when we're talking about burning houses. But it was a good deal, but it just wasn't right for us. And so we were looking around. Finally, we came by this house, and again, a ready to move house, just out of Cowan and Slater, for $20,000. Anybody looking for a good house? $20,000, that's a pretty decent. There we go, over and you go get it. There, it's waiting for you. A great house, $20,000. And so we thought, whoa, this is amazing. So we went to see the house, and it looked pretty good. Nice three-bedroom home, and that was fine. But But it's bought and the house is stuck out like in the Slater. I mean, like that's in the middle of nowhere. I mean, absolutely, to get a truck in to get this house. And then it's an older home, and we know that when you get an older home and you move it to town, they make you bring everything up to code. So you have to, for example, you have to, your walls have to be 6-inch walls, and you have to have smoke alarms in the bedrooms and all this stuff. It's just a bunch of stuff. And so what sounds, it starts out like a whale of a deal, by the time you're done, you know, it's just not quite so whale. But we were going to do it. It sounds still pretty good for us. It's still better than $100,000 or $200,000 house, which, you know, we've been down that road before. And so we're just getting excited. But as we were moving, I had already made an engagement or a tentative engagement with the building inspector here in Swan to go out and look at the house, which they have to do before they'll allow you to buy it and bring it to town. And so that was already, the wheels are starting to turn on that already. But as Linda, we just finished breakfast, and I just, the thought came to my mind that I need to phone my friend Mr. Tibble, Scott, one of the realtors here in town. And so I just thought, well, I'm going to talk to him about the process, about moving house and blah, 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 all that stuff, and see what he has to say. And so I call him, and he says to me, I said to him, we're just looking at an RTM and hoping to move to town, and I wonder what you can tell us about that. He said, his response was, you're calling about my house? And I said, what house? Well, he says, my RTM. I said, you got an RTM? Yeah, he said, I got two of them. He said, I just put them on Kijiji like 15 minutes ago. And I didn't even know about it. And so he's telling me about this house, perfect price, fit on the lot, wonderful. Just a thought came to my mind, I need to phone Scott. Just the favor of God. Hour later, we had a house. And no fuss, no muss. It was just a wonderful thing. Just an opening of the door that I would have never... How did I know that Scott had a house? And so it was just God directing it. As we trusted him, praise Jesus, the favor of God.
It doesn't have to be difficult, does it? I think we make it more difficult than it needs to be oftentimes. It's just trusting and waiting upon God. But it wasn't just passive, it was active. You know, we did all that we needed to do and stood on God's promises. And God provided. And I think that's what I'm trying to get across here this morning, is that as we wait upon the God, as we rest in Him, it's not just not doing anything, it's doing what you know to do, but yet resting in the fact that God has the answer, and He has the best answer. Amen? He has the best means. He has the best way of you being able to do something or get something. Just don't be in a hurry. You know, we're believing for a house. We sold into this mortgage pay down here, and it's good that we're reminded it, you know, every Sunday. I think that it's good to keep it fresh in our minds so that we don't forget about it. As we pay off the mortgage here, I'm believing that God is going to give us a house. I don't have money to buy a house. The banks won't give me a mortgage because I was in business, and they look at your last 2 years, and because my last year was a bad year, I can't get a mortgage. So I have to believe God for a miracle. That's okay. God performs miracles. But in the meantime, I've been looking. I've looked at, I don't know, probably a half dozen or so acreages. But the right one isn't there yet. There's some that I would have bought if I'd have had the money, and thank God I didn't have the money because it probably would have been a problem or something. But God has the house for us. He has the acreage for us. And it's going to happen as we wait upon Him. I don't have to be anxious for it. You know, a couple months ago, Pastor Ray, you preached the message, and then you handed out these daily confessions. They're at the back of the church here. My wife faithfully prays this every day. And when I'm in the room with her, I agree. You need to do this, folks. You know, it's being steadfast. It's being constant. And it's enduring. You know, as we endure in faith, God provides the answer. It's diligently seeking Him. It's not giving up. We're not giving up. We're believing that God has everything that's written on this piece of paper for us. And He has the same thing for each one in this room. And He has the same thing for our families. We pray this for ourselves. We pray this over our children and our grandchildren. We pray this over our church. We confess it because it's God's promises. And God's promises are yes and amen. You know, the Bible says that the... before I quote it, I should read it. That through faith and patience, they inherited the promises. Through faith and patience, they inherited the promises. Faith in God's word, faith in his promises. But they were patient. Amen? I need to read that. You know, going before God can often create Ishmaels. God had promised Abraham a son, an heir. But he wasn't patient. He tried to make things happen in his own time. And he did. He created a son through Hagar, the concubine. And it caused a whole lot of problems. Still to this day, that's where the whole Muslim nation comes from. It's through this, the son of through the son of Hagar and Abraham. You know, if he would have waited patiently, and God was faithful in his promise, he didn't have a son. But he didn't wait. And so often, when God gives us a promise, we try to make it happen in our own time, in our own way. I've done that. It's caused nothing but problems for us. Years ago, when we tried to buy a house, one of our houses that we were going to buy, and it was a really nice house. I really liked the setup, the design of it, and everything. And the bank changed the deal on us. They wanted us to come up with 10% instead of 5%. And we were quite miffed about not being able to get this house. But little did we know that God had a better house. And we found out later on that house that we were going to buy had problems in the basement with water. So God knew all along. Thank God that the banks raised the interest rate. Otherwise, we'd have been stuck with a house with water problems. Amen? Seems like it's a long... Two keys to waiting on God are faith and patience, and both of them are active. When Abraham believed God's promise that he would have an heir, that was faith in action, and it was accredited to him as righteousness. The minute he believed was the minute he was accredited. He wasn't accredited after the fact of the promise being fulfilled. The minute he believed was the minute he was accredited as being righteous before God. Isn't that amazing? The minute that you believe is the minute that God accredits it to our account. I like that. It doesn't come after the promise is fulfilled. It comes the minute that you and I believe. Hallelujah. That's exciting. And so it is with our salvation. The moment we believe we are saved, that's the moment that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Glory to God. I'm not waiting to get saved. I have been saved. The moment I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart, and the same is with anyone in this room who's done the same, the moment that you accepted Jesus into their heart, that's the moment that your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and no one can erase it. No devil can erase it. No problem can erase it. No difficulty can erase your name being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's good news. You know, the patient part was where Abraham fell short, and many of us do as well. We believe God's promise, but when it looks like nothing is happening, we either take matters into our own hands, or we become discouraged and begin to grumble and complain, and further start our whiny trip. You know, patience means a patient enduring. It's enduring through troubles, it's enduring through trials, it's enduring through difficulties. It's not giving up. It's being steadfast, enduring. Do we stumble and fall along the way sometimes? Yeah, we do. But you know, the more that you grow in your faith and the more accomplishments and the more victories that you have, the less that happens in your life. Amen? You know, God wants us to be steadfast. He wants us to endure to the end. You know, the Strong's speaks of it this way. It says, the characteristic of a man who is unswerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith and piety by even the greatest trials and sufferings. He's unswerved. Wasn't that the way Jesus was? He was unswerved in what he needed to do, what he needed to accomplish on the cross. He knew what was before him. He knew the trials. He knew the difficulties. He knew the torture and the torment that he was going to go through. But the joy that was set before him was greater than anything that he was about to endure. So God wants us to be those who endure, those who have patience. You know, I'm expecting my greatest blessing ever. The best is yet to come. It's not over yet. I may be older than quite a number of you, but my best is yet to come. And your best is yet to come. And you know what? When our best come together, all of our best come together, what great things we can do for God. You know, just believing for the cancellation of the debt on this house is us coming together and seeing God's purposes fulfilled. Amen? And it's going to release a new anointing in this place. I really believe it. It's going to release a new anointing in the area of your finances. It's going to release a new anointing in the area of your faith to believe God for greater things. You know what? You may not have seen the fulfillment of the promise yet, but don't give up. The best is yet to come. You know what? We need to be patient, but we need to be those who endure, and we need to be those who are active. Amen? Don't give up, folks. Expect. You know, the word wait means to expect, to be hopeful. And we are hoping for greater things. We're expecting greater things. It's not going to get worse. It's going to get better. It may get worse for those out in this world who don't have Christ, but it's going to get better for us who do know Christ. Amen? I'm just going to finish up here. You know, I love God's promise and how he relates it to an eagle soaring. Have you ever watched an eagle soar in the sky? It seems so effortless as they glide high above in the sky. They just spread their wings and they're just like, cool. Just catch the currents. Exactly. That's what they do. They catch the currents. They don't even hardly flap their wings. They're just out there just soaring. That's what God wants for us. We would rise up on wings as eagles. The eagle is the only bird that is able to soar above the clouds and get out of the storm. Do you know that? When we rise up on wings as eagles, we soar above the storms that are below us. You know, storms will come. I'm not saying they're not going to come. They are going to come. But as we rise up on wings as eagles, we'll soar above them. And those same difficulties that we faced at one time in our life will have no more effect on us because we'll be above. Amen? See, when we are renewed in our strength, we're able to rise above the storms that come our way. We will walk and not grow weary in well-doing. Today, if you're feeling in your place of being tired and weary, maybe it's time to set aside some God time and wait upon him. Amen? You know, spending time with the Lord, Cam has built a hunting shack out at the property out there. And it's a great place just to go and just to be quiet. There's nothing moving except some animals, birds singing. There's no distractions. There's no phone ringing. There's nobody talking to you. You can just be quiet. And you can listen. And you can wait upon God. God, what do you say? What do I need to do in this situation? Should I move forward on this? You know, there's times where God wants us to kick a door down. There's times where he just wants us just to wait. We just need to know when the right time is and what to do in those certain situations. Waiting upon God, resting in God, will help you to rise as an eagle. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word today. I pray, God, that your word has brought encouragement, enlightenment to those who are maybe facing some difficult moments in their life right now. We just need some encouragement. Father, they would find encouragement in faith by the testimonies that were shared today. That, Lord, their way is not hidden from you. There's not one individual in this room, God, whose way is hidden from you. You know each and every situation. And there's nothing too difficult or impossible for you. Father, I thank you for people who rise up. Lord, even as we sang, rise up, O people of God. Lord, I believe that. The people of God will rise up. For those who have been beaten down, God speaks to you today. He says, rise up, my child. I am with you. The way ahead may have been difficult, but God says, I am with you. I just want to wait upon the Lord here this morning. I don't want to be in a hurry to believe that God may have a word for someone here today. Sitting in the back room. Don't know you, never met you before, but I just really sense God just wants to encourage you today. Really sense that you felt like you've been alone in your struggles. And God says that you're not alone, that he's with you. And you can take comfort in the fact that he will strengthen you. He will give you the courage to face what you need to face. And he'll help you up when you've been down. So Lord, we just thank you for your word for these people today. We thank you that God, that you are just ministering to them by your Spirit. They will sense your presence, Lord, in a way they've never sensed before. That you bring healing, God, where there needs to be healing. Praise you, Jesus.
Feel the Lord would remind us. In scripture in Exodus chapter 6. In chapter 5, Moses comes to Pharaoh and he says to Pharaoh, the time has come, Pharaoh, for you to let my people go. And Pharaoh didn't take very kindly to that. He reacted to that, and he was not at all prepared to let the people of Israel go. And so he rose up in hostility against Moses. And you remember the story how his displeasure trickled down to cause Israel even more trouble. And the people began to murmur against Moses. But then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you're going to see what I'm going to do. Because under compulsion, Pharaoh is going to let my people go. In fact, under compulsion, he will drive them from the land." And God spoke further to Moses and said, "I am the Lord. And I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Lord, that is Jehovah, I did not make myself known to you, to them." And God goes on speaking to Israel and to Moses. And then in verse 7, he says this, "I'm going to take you for my people, and I will be your God, and you will know that I am the Lord your God." And we spoke about this scripture a couple weeks ago, and we talked about this, how that when God said to Moses, "I'm going to take you as my people, you're going to become my children, you're going to be my family now, I'm going to make you my own family, you're going to be my people. But as you now are my people, I am now going to become your God." And historically and traditionally, we just kind of thought that we think that when God's our God, that means we have an allegiance to a higher power, and we are responsible to a higher power, and that's all right and true, and that's okay, that's fine. But what God is really saying to them is this: now that you are my people, you are going to see that I'm your God. That is, now you are my people, and I am about to become your miracle worker. I'm your miracle worker. I'm going to be your miracle worker. I believe the Lord would say to us this morning that He has come not only to be an object of worship to us, and not only to be the focal point of our life, all of which is right and necessary and true and very good, but He really has an intent to become our miracle worker. Father, we just believe that this morning in this house, we declare it. Father, we just thank you for the exhortation that Bill's brought us and the admonition for us to trust in the Lord and to wait on God and to really believe that you are our miracle worker, so that when we come into difficult situations, when we come into situations that look like they're just impossible, how that we will not faint, we will not grow weary, because we have a God who's a miracle worker. I believe the Lord wants to say to you this morning that He is prepared. He is waiting on you. He is engaged, because His intent is to be your miracle worker. And so, Father, I pray over this congregation, Father, that as Bill's word rests on our hearts and gets inside our spirit, that we will indeed rise up with confidence, even when we face situations that look like they're going the wrong way. No problem, no problem, no problem. God's my miracle worker. I have a miracle worker working for me. God is my miracle worker. And so, Father, we declare in this house that our confidence is not in our own self, not in our own flesh, not in our own strength or wisdom. We declare in this place that though it may be that some trust in horses and some in chariots, we will trust in the name of the Lord our God, because we have a miracle worker who's working on our behalf. Hallelujah.